Rivers took away. That's the best. Get your money's worth. Now, that was exactly my point.
What's up and welcome back to Pro Pels Talk, presented to you by Company Burger and Boot Crew Media. Today, special podcast. We are joined with newly verified Jake Madison of Locked On Pels. Congratulations, Jake. That's awesome. And Elliot Clough of Pelicans Plus here with Ross Thibodeau. My name is Justin Napoli. We're going to dive in. Is Dame Lillard going to come to New Orleans? Jake Madison and Elliot Clough have done two great podcasts on it so far already, on what they think of Dame Lillard. I know SGA was talked on yours, Elliot, and I want to get Ross's opinion on this. But let's get right into it. Dame Lillard to New Orleans. Jake, I'll start with you first. Do you think the Godfather offer of basically Brandon Ingram, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jackson Hayes, and all those picks is necessary to get Dame Lillard to New Orleans?
If you want him here tomorrow, yeah. Like, absolutely, you're going to need to make that to bring him in right now. He's on a four-year contract. He very clearly wants out and is trying to, like, orchestrate his way out of there without also trying to be a bad guy. But because of that four-year contract, they don't need to move him right now. And I was talking to our Locked On Blazers host, who's really connected to all of this. Of this four-year contract, he doesn't expect Damian Lillard to play two of those years, but he probably does expect him to play one. They're just in no rush to absolutely do it right now until you at least get into the season and maybe starts pulling some James Harden tactics and is like such a horrible teammate and creates such an untenable situation that you have to move him. But you're not going to get that until you get to the start of the year. So if you want him tomorrow before the draft, right after the draft, free agency, this offseason, essentially, yeah, you're going to need to put everything on the table to make Portland say yes to something like that, because I don't think there's a ton of rush there. So if you're the Pelicans, I think it's more about positioning yourself to make a move for him when the timing's right on it. And I don't think the timing is right on it just yet necessarily. So yeah, the Godfather offer is necessary if you want to bring him this offseason, but you can also maybe get him later for a little bit less.
Okay. Elliot, what do you got?
I think Jake kind of captured it without necessarily saying the phrasing I'm thinking of is we're prisoners of the moment right now, right? Everybody wants Dame Lillard and they want him right now. So if the trade is going to happen at this very moment before the draft, before the season starts, it's going to have to be everything. It's going to have to be everything. And the thing about Damian Lillard too, that we need to take into consideration right now in, you know, reference to looking at the James Harden deal, is that Dame Lillard is not going to show up to the season fat. He's not going to show up fat. He's not going to show up and not try effectively like James Harden did. And so that's going to have to be taken into consideration. Obviously, a lot of Pels fans don't want to have to give up all that to go get a Damian Lillard. And, you know, there's the preference for Nah or Jackson Hayes over Kyra. I'd rather put Kyra in a deal like that. But you're going to have to give up a lot, and whether it's right now or in the future, it just depends on the situations. Personally, I'd like to wait a little bit longer.
Ross, I know we've discussed this, right? And I caught a lot of flack for a tweet on Sunday that I reworded wrong. Okay. So I was basically saying, I know Dame Lillard is a way better offensive player than Brandon Ingram. That is, he's elite. Okay. Now, is Brandon Ingram, like, yeah, he's a very good scorer. Brandon Ingram is a three-level scorer. I love Brandon Ingram. But at the same time, if you give up Brandon Ingram, if you give up Nikhil Alexander-Walker, if you give up Jackson Hayes, and then you give up all the assets that you've really worked for in the Anthony Davis trades and the Jrue Holiday trades, Ross, does that make you much better giving up all of that for a Dame Lillard and, say, like a Robert Covington?
I mean, I think it probably makes you a little better on the margins, but not, no. I mean, I don't think that team's a champion. And that's just my opinion. I mean, I think especially given the fact that, you know, to their point, if you get Dame when he's 32, 33, I mean, I don't know that it's going to matter much. But, yeah, I don't think it makes us much better. But this is sort of separate from some of the other things that get, you know, hypothesized. In the sense that I get it. If Lillard kind of wants out, that's great. But I don't envision a scenario where they move it in the next year or two, kind of what Jake was talking about. I mean, you just brought in a new coach who theoretically is going to try pretty hard to cater to him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, surely they're going to throw everything at the wall to try and build whatever he's wanting, or like I'm assuming he wants to compete for a championship, and that's sort of some, you know, why he's a little frustrated. But I think they have a better route to make their team better than they do, like, to just start over
kind of thing.
At least in my opinion. I mean, you can move McCollum, you can move Covington, you can move, you know, some of these Anthony Simons. They have other guys that would hold a little value around the league. So, I mean, I almost feel like they could go poach just about, you know, any guy that's available. I don't know. It feels like they would exhaust that option before doing something.
Before getting rid of
it. Yeah, so it just is something. I mean, I guess, so maybe I'm piggybacking off Jake in the sense that if you want to position yourself for, you know, a year down the road, a year and a half, maybe even 2 years down the road to get Lillard, I think, you know, by all means, right? But that's something we should do, whether it's Lillard or anyone else. I don't see Lillard, like, I just don't. I would say the chances of him being New Orleans in the next year are like 0%.
Really? 0%?
I just don't know why. It would be, I mean, he's on a four-year
deal. No, that's not wrong. That's not wrong. Like, I don't think there are high odds of him coming here, but he wants out. And we've seen these players who want out force their ways out, even if they're under contract and things like that. These guys have way more agency. They kind of control their careers way more than what we've seen in the past. So that's great if Portland wants to keep him, and I agree with you, they probably do. It just, there's not necessarily a track record of this, right? You know, this started with Kyrie Irving forcing his way out of Cleveland. You saw it really, Harden's like the best example of that, I think. The AD situation where he got to the team that he wanted to go to as well. Because of that, yeah, you might want to keep him. That's great. It just doesn't work out that way. And I think when you look at their team, you know, they don't have a first round pick this year. They do own their future first round picks after this year. That's great. But if you have Damian Lillard, those aren't the most valuable picks. I don't necessarily see avenues for them to incredibly upgrade that team to the point where they become a title contender, where I think Dame gets happy. And it does seem like stuff with Chauncey Billups to some degree was like almost orchestrated by him to kind of sabotage that team to a certain degree so that he can point to them and be like, you see, I can't be here anymore, even though he kind of had a hand in making it go that way. And so when you kind of put in a lot of those factors, I don't see them trading him this year. I think it's next offseason when he'd get moved. But like, they're based on what I'm seeing right now and talking to some people around the league and people that cover that team more closely, like, it seems more like they're going to head towards a break at some point.
I guess, and you hit on one of the main reasons that I'm just sort of not even entertaining this much, is that you talk about James Harden. Well, where did he move himself to, right? Brooklyn. Where did Anthony Davis want to go? LA. Like, I don't, it feels like if he's going to go the route of forcing his way, like, it, when he's under contract, yeah, theoretically the team, I guess, could move him, you know, wherever, right? But in all of these instances, the guys have pretty much they've pretty much gone where they want to go.
Where is he going to want to go, though? What team is going to have the assets to get him? I mean, if he wants to go to a big market, like the Knicks, like, that's going to be it, because neither of the LA teams are going to be able to get him.
Well, right. I'm saying, are we trying to say that we're that desirable at this point? Like, I just don't know that to be true. I don't see Dan Lillard going in there being like, I want New Orleans and I want it now. Like,
right. So yeah,
I'm not saying it's a pointless conversation to have. I think it's one that is better had in like a year.
Yeah.
You know, we make the playoffs and we do some things that make us more desirable.
While we're on this topic, I do want to ask all this, and Elliot, I'm going to start with you. Do y'all think the NBA might have a problem with players dictating where they go, right? So James Harden was like, I'm not playing for you and I'm going to Brooklyn. And Anthony Davis face is like, I'm not playing for you, I'm going to LA. Elliot, do you see that the NBA might be having a little bit of a problem with this? Because it is a player league and they basically control where they want to go.
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily think it's the worst thing in the world. It offers a bit of dichotomy between all of the major league sports, right? Because in the NFL, these guys have very little control of their future and very little influence, as opposed to the NBA. And I you know, it keeps things interesting. I really don't have a problem with it. And I think, you know, in any other profession, you can, I mean, as long as you have the financial means, generally speaking, you control your future. Sure. So I think it's fair. And I mean, you know, everybody jumps to, well, they're getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball. Well, they're still people, you know? right. And I think that giving them some agency is certainly okay.
Yeah. Jake?
You know, I don't think it just depends on kind of where you fall in like labor relations, I think, to a certain degree on some of this stuff. You know, look, it's bad if a guy like Zion is forcing his way out after, say, 3 or 4 years in New Orleans. I think it's a little bit different when it's Damian Lillard, who's kind of been established there. And you can very clearly see that, you know, after 7, 8, 9 years in the league, it's just not going to happen there. And these guys want to win and kind of really cement their legacies in the history of the sport. So for, you know, it depends on the age of the guy, the tenure in the league. I don't think it's a problem when it comes to Damian Lillard doing this. The Harden stuff was pretty rough because that was just nasty all around. And I don't like some of the tactics that they've taken, but sure, if guys want to go and, you know, they've done right by the organization. Jrue Holiday is a good example of that. I think, you know, I don't necessarily think it's a problem, and look, it generates interest around the league. If this wasn't a thing, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. We wouldn't be doing the show, and this is a good thing for everybody, probably.
Sure. No, those are two great points. I don't know, Ross, I don't know what your opinion is on it. Or
yeah, and I mean it's sort of similar to what they said. Harden is the one that is an outlier a little bit to me. That's in the sense that he had, like, I don't know, at the time maybe two years left on his deal, after maybe 2.5 years, I guess, 3 years really, when he just showed up.
Yeah,
and so that was the one that I think is different, right? Like, once you get to the end of these deals, Anthony Davis type stuff, like, I mean, it's kind of what Chris Paul did, right? Like, if you know you're not going to come back, Anthony Davis's was uglier. But, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, once you start getting to the last year of the deal, you basically have no, I mean, they've got you handcuffed anyway, right? Because no team is going to give up a ton of assets most likely for him, because say he's going to be a free agent. You're really only dealing with that one team that has a pretty good idea that they're going to re-sign long-term in that spot anyway, right? So I don't see it as an issue. I mean, is it an annoyance if that player's on your team? Absolutely. Right. But it doesn't happen enough for me to really care about it one way or the other.
Okay. So I want to bring up another player that I think he's on the same team, but I don't see why he wouldn't be a trade target, and that's CJ McCollum. And Jake, I'll start with you. I'll go to Ross and Elliot. What do you think it would take to get a CJ McCollum? Because listen, there's a lot of chatter going on with Dame Lillard and things like that. I feel like CJ McCollum could be a potential target for this team.
He is. And look, he's not going to be back in Portland next year. They're going to move him in some capacity. The problem is he's owed a good bit of money, $31 million next year, $33 million the year after that, almost $36 million in three seasons. It's a lot to pay for a guy that doesn't truly show up in the playoffs, can be at times a bit of an inconsistent shooter. But New Orleans is feeling the heat, right? Like, you can see things aren't exactly going well here with the front office and this team. And we've already heard the rumors of Zion being a little bit unhappy. So you need to take some chances, I think, and you can't keep playing it safe. McCollum's a guy that you could get for pretty cheap. I don't think it would take a lot to get him. It could be something as simple as Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe and a pick, and maybe second round picks to try and get that done because of the amount of money that he's owed over that period of time. And look, it's a guy who's a good shooter who would fit next to Zion Williamson, would fit next to Brandon Ingram and space the court a little bit and just add more dimensions than just purely being a spot up shooter. Yeah, if all else fails in free agency and in the trade market, like, that's a guy you absolutely should be kicking the tires on.
Ross?
No, 100%. You're going back a couple of months on him. To the extent that you can get him for, you know, a pick and basically any number of guys on the roster that are disposable, I don't know why you wouldn't do it. I really like his fit next to BI and Zion. Is he the, you know, kind of the third superstar? No. But is he, in my opinion, is he a really good player that complements those two guys? Absolutely. And given where Portland's at right now with the need to just do something to change something, I would absolutely be fishing for him. And to the extent that you can, you know, you can get him for a pick or two, and some of these guys that I don't think we want anyway, sign me up.
Yeah. Elliot.
Yeah. You throw in that number 10 pick and some of those younger guys, and I think, and probably a future pick or two, Portland's probably going to be interested. Now, it's going to be dependent on what other teams are willing to offer. You know, they want to get better defensively. And if Boston wants another playmaker and are willing to give up Marcus Smart, something like that, that's a possibility. So it's just going to depend on the rest of the market. Also, I mean, you're going to have negatives with whatever team or whatever player you're going for. But CJ McCollum going to be turning 30 in September. The injury history and that contract that Jake mentioned. So you just have to take that into consideration. whether or not you think that can ultimately lead the Pelicans to start winning and build some momentum for the future years. And he can stay healthy and be a tertiary playmaker along with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. I mean, I'm all for it. And I know Ali Cosell was on my podcast. We had a round table before SVG got fired. And he thought that the Pels would have to give up Brandon Ingram to get CJ McCollum.
Yeah, that was incredible.
If they give up the 10th pick for him, I'm going to have a huge issue with that. His value is kind of negative around the league right now. And it's known that they want to move him. I wouldn't give up a lot for him, certainly, but you could make it work.
Yeah. Brandon Ingram for CJ, no way. So Ellie, I'm gonna start with you. I know you're on this train, the SGA train. I know you talked about it in a good bit yesterday on your podcast. What does a trade package kind of look like for him? Because I like his game. I know him and Nah have obviously the relationship with the cousins or whatever they are. I love him. I think, is he gettable? In your opinion, is he honestly gettable? Because before I pitch it to you, because they already have all the picks, right? So if you offer them more picks, like, is that really move the needle?
It's, you know, making trades and theoretical trades are hard anyway. It's difficult anyway. And now with a team that's saturated with picks, saturated with a bunch of young guys, it will be difficult to make the trade. And I know a lot of people are making the point that he's their cornerstone going forward, but he's a little bit older than the rest of the core. And the timelines don't necessarily line up. He's able to get his rookie extension this season. And he'll get paid a significant amount of money. It's dependent on how the timelines line up. If the Thunder think they can get, you know, other stack of players from a different team other than the Pelicans. But, you know, if the Pelicans can make it work, you said it. I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Thunder were 17-22 before he got hurt. Yeah. And that's largely because of him. And, you know, he did get hurt, but he was out for so many games. I don't know how many games they lost in a row towards the end of the season. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is cold-blooded. He's a shooter. Defend. He's got a 6'6 frame. Cousins with Nah. That's great for marketing. And he's a winning basketball player. He adds such a big a scoring dynamic and ability to affect the game that I would love him in New Orleans. I would rather, you know, long-term effect. A ton of people responded to that tweet that I put up yesterday. And I'd say that most people want Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as opposed to Dame for the long term.
I had to say this, Booba. Al Horford was a big reason to OKC winning, see the live tweet or the live comment there. No, good points, Elliot Ross. I know we just talked about this before getting on the air. Thoughts on SGA? Does he make this team better? And I think that the idea, right, is to bring a third guy in to create a big three, not get rid of one of the guys in Brandon Ingram.
No, yeah, I agree with you there. Obviously, he makes our team better. It would make absolutely no sense for OKC. Like, because one, what can we give them, right? Like that has a lot of value, right? Yeah. So they're not gonna none of that stuff is gonna matter. What we have of value to a team like that is picks, I would assume, maybe like Kyrie, you said some of our younger guys, right? But like all we would be giving you is they would be trading a sure thing for the chance to get another sure thing. It's like you're giving away it just doesn't make any sense to me. Why, like, if you're giving away 22-year-olds that have already sort of proven, like, shown their mettle to a certain extent, then what the hell are you doing? Like, are you just not like
you're just getting all the picks?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like if you don't want 22-year-olds that are already really good basketball players, like, then what are you like? Are you rebuilding? Or you just not care? Or it feels like one of those things where I don't know why Oklahoma City would do this. So it just doesn't feel like a real thing. It's like, yeah, you make us better. No, well, yeah, he would, but. I don't see it. But
maybe he's the guy that breaks the seal on signing the qualifying offer and wants to become a restricted free agent. Is it restricted? I don't know. He wants to become a free agent, and OKC knows they're not going to get him back. But you know, I mean, I that's highly unlikely. We've never really seen that before with a player of this caliber. So I mean, it's all speculation, right? It's dependent on what other teams are going to offer. As I said about CJ McCollum, and you could say about any trade that really happens in the NBA.
Right. Sure. And Jake, I wanted to actually ask you this question first, just me and you here. We've talked about Dame. We've talked about SGA. We've talked about CJ. Who do you honestly see this team going for in the offseason? Because they, with the Zion comments, with, you know, Zion's unhappy, the family's unhappy and all this different kind of stuff, who do you see Griffin making a move for?
It's a good question, right? Like, that's a million-dollar one here. You know, SGA is not realistic for all the reasons you all mentioned. They kind of got screwed in this lottery, and I think that's kind of bubbled up some of this talk about him, but there's, like, no reason to move him, and they're probably 2 years away from, like, needing to even think about that. Look, I think when you look at what's out there, it probably is CJ McCollum. Like, that seems to kind of be the obvious name to me. It makes sense from both sides that you'd go and do that. You know, we can talk ourselves into a guy like Marcus Smart, who I'd be all for here, but why would the Celtics move him? Especially now that they've gotten off of Kemba Walker's contract, they don't need to include Marcus Smart in a deal like that. I don't think there's a ton right now. You know, like, I think that's kind of part of the issue here is it's not going to necessarily be easy to really shake this roster up without some sort of godfather offer or completely overpaying to get a guy in. But CJ McCollum seems to make some sense. It's a guy you could probably move later on if, like, you really, really needed to with some of the other picks that you have. That, I think, is kind of the obvious move this offseason to try and shake things up, add some more scoring. And then, you know, it also might depend on how the draft goes and who they end up selecting there too, if they pick a more ready-made guy for the NBA versus more of a project. But CJ McCollum's the guy that I really see on the team this next season and a guy that I think they're going to go after.
Jake, I just want to, since you just said that, and I totally agree. I would handicap pretty well. I think CJ McCollum's on our team next year, but so you wouldn't give up the 10th pick and, like, let's just whatever and something to make the money work, right? Steven Adams and whatever filler to make the money work. You wouldn't give that up for CJ McCollum, right? Like, as we sit here today.
No, I don't think so. Really? You know, I don't think his value's that high, right? You know, CJ McCollum from 3 years ago, yeah, you probably need to do that. But right now, after the playoffs, he just had that age and that contract. I think that's way too much to give up for the 10th pick. You might need to include future draft picks and stuff for the factor of including a guy like Steven Adams and maybe Eric Bledsoe in for taking on those two bad contracts for guys that aren't amazing. You know, they have no need for Steven Adams there whatsoever, right? They've got Nurkic. Like, they don't need a dude like Steven Adams. Bledsoe's fine, but, you know, it doesn't really fit them. You're more paying them to take on those contracts. You know, you might need to throw in a young guy to make it work too, but that's what they would trade CJ McCollum for. They need to add a little bit of youth there. They need to add someone who has more potential than what this guy is, who's kind of shown what he is. You know, I think if you had a comparable player, you include a second round pick and that's it. The Pelicans just don't really have that kind of guy. So I think that's where you kind of look at it and think it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But the 10th pick's way too much, especially because I do think at 10 in this draft, you can get a guy that's going to step into the lineup and contribute right away for New Orleans that's younger and cheaper and cost controlled. That's an important thing to factor into the opportunity cost and everything else that comes with the future flexibility you would have of not paying CJ McCollum $30 million.
Right. And look, very good points here. Ellie, I want to get your question. I want to get to this question here because I know you talked about CJ McCollum's injury history. Is the injury issues with CJ McCollum in the past, is that factoring to what the Pelicans may offer to the Blazers?
That's got to drive the value down, right? And I mean, Jake's mentioning we know what his value is. We've seen him. Right. That is who he is. CJ McCollum's not going to get any better defensively or really add much to his game. So on top of that, the injury history, the cost, it's a lot of money for a guy who is older with injury history. So, that definitely drives the value down for me.
Yeah, for sure. Before I let y'all go, I want to, mention one more guy that could be a trade target. I'm starting with you, Ross. Buddy Hield. Is it a possibility?
That's where the difference is for me is, like, I like CJ McCollum a lot more than I like Buddy Hield.
Why?
I just feel like he's a better player. Overall, I feel like he's a better offensive player than Buddy Hield is. And
because I'm just giving you realistic, like, trade option, like trade, like, we're not, I don't think that we get a Dame Lillard, right? But, like, we got to start looking at, like, CJ McCollum's, Buddy Hield's, things like that.
See, Buddy Hield
shoots 40% from deep, but I mean,
he falls more into the category of, like, I feel like I can just get someone similar to Buddy Hield at around 10. I think McCollum is better than like whatever we're going to get at the 10th pick this year. I would like CJ McCollum is going to affect our roster a whole hell of a lot more than I think that player would. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not sure that I can say the same thing for Buddy Hield. Like he feels like a step down, like a significant step down from McCollum to me. I mean, I'm sure others will disagree, but that's just my opinion.
Jake.
No, I think he's gettable too. If you want someone who's a little bit cheaper, you know, Buddy Hield makes sense. I do think McCollum's probably a better player, but that contract is way more palatable for Buddy Hield. It's also descending, so he makes less money as it goes further on. That gives you a little bit more flexibility too. The Kings are the Kings. Who knows what the hell is going on with them too? So it's definitely a gettable guy. He plugs right into the starting lineup, gives you shooting, like a slight bit of ball handling, but not much. It's a useful guy. If you can't get CJ McCollum or you just don't want to take on that contract at that age, I think that's a good option to go after and try and get.
And I like getting healed too. I mean, this team needs shooting and he's shooting, right? I mean, you can say it as simply as that. I love the fact that he's a descending contract, like Jake just mentioned. I mean, he is 28. As far as I know, maybe I'm making this up, but I don't think he has the injury history of a CJ McCollum. He's cheaper. And you know, he's a bona fide shooter and that's what this team needs.
Let's answer this question. Ross, does Alonzo sign trade make sense for CJ or Buddy Hield?
Without looking at, I don't think it makes sense for Sacramento. I don't, but maybe it does without looking at their roster. I don't think it would make a ton of sense. I don't think Lonzo's that good. So I don't, unless you need it, unless the other team was really interested, but like, I assume if Portland is moving McCollum, it's because they're probably going to give some, you know, that Simons is going to soak up some of those minutes or mm-hmm. the idea is that he's going to soak up a lot of those minutes. I don't know that they would want to bring in Lonzo for, you know, and for whatever the sign and trade would be. My opinion is no, but I haven't evaluated Sacramento and Portland's rosters that close to see if it makes sense financially.
Yeah. Okay. Last question before I let you go, Jake, who is the coach of this team?
It's probably going to be Jock Vaughn. That would be my guess. I mean, that's, you know, everything I've talked to around the team, that's a guy they really were high on last year. Same with Charles Lee. They seem to be kind of hovering around both those guys again. Jock Vaughn's more of a devil, you know. He's got some head coaching experience, even if it wasn't good. I think they kind of value that for a team that's looking to get right back into the playoffs. So that's kind of who I'm feeling, at least today, but that may change.
Okay. Elliot, who you got?
For me, it's you know, the easy choice right now is one of those two. I'll probably say Charles Lee. Due to the fact that he is younger and hasn't been a head coach before, and we know Griff wants influence. So that's a big reason why. You know, I've been talking a little bit about coaches that are under the radar. I love Jamal Mosley. I don't want to completely disregard him. SVG was come kind of out of the woodwork last year. So I wouldn't mind if the Pels go out and get a guy like him. He was beloved by Luka with the Mavs, and I'm sure he's upset with the fact that he wasn't considered.
Yeah, Ross.
I think it's probably Lee. It feels like if we were going to get Vaughn, we might have already done it.
Right. That's what I was thinking too.
And I mean, this is sort of what happened last year, right? I mean, I think it's probably Lee. It just feels like, and for no other reason that I feel like if it was going to be Jacques Vaughn, we'd have already, like it would have gotten done in the last week or so. But it feels like it's one of those two because I don't have a good indication that it's going to be anyone else at this point.
Okay. I don't think that a win-loss record is a big deal for me. I mean, yes, Jacques Vaughn's teams in Orlando sucked. And yes, they do play a little part, but I don't look at win-loss. I mean, you look at Monty Williams, look at all the coaches. I mean, they always lose. Like, everyone's going to lose sooner or later, but unless you're Phil Jackson. By the way, I looked up his record. Unbelievable. Like, I know he's, like, one of the best coaches of all time, but I looked at the actual records. Like, truly, he never had a losing season. And he had two of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game. But, Jake Madison, Elliot Clough, Ross Thibodeau, and Justin Napoli. This was fun today, guys. A little live session here on Twitter with the questions. Elliot, I figured out how to, like, that's pretty cool. I know we didn't answer this guy. Wait before y'all go. Who do y'all like at 10? I would probably say Kispert. Jake, who do you got?
Yeah, I want someone who can just help right away. Kispert fits the bill perfectly on that. It's a bit of a reach for him at 10, I think, but, like, you just have to do it.
Yeah, Elliot?
Kispert's the safe bet. If you want to go long shot, I know a lot of people really like Moses Moody. I think he's 6'6 with like a 7 foot long wingspan. So if you're looking for like a Mikal Bridges, the possibility of a Mikal Bridges, that's the kind of archetype you're looking for in a Moody. But the safe bet is definitely Kispert.
Ross.
Same. Kispert. He helps right away and he is a position to need. I mean, I don't, yeah.
I still like Davion Mitchell from Baylor. But anyways, Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter, Elliot Clough of Pelicans Plus at Elliot Clough, Ross Thibodeau at Ross Thibodeau. No, what are you, Boo Crew Ross? I don't know. You're not Boo really Crew a big Ross, Twitter guy, but Twitter. And then follow us at Propels Talk. Once again, can't thank y'all enough. And also congratulations, Jake, on the verification of the news. I know you are not. I'm a round of applause here for Jake Madison. It's big time. It's a big time thing. Congratulations, Jake.
I'm just going to continue to be over here laughing now.
All right, guys. Once again, follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Propels Talk. Jake Madison, Elliot Clough, Ross Thibodeau, and Justin Napoli signing off. See y'all later.
Way. It was a finger roll of any.
That's a dunk.